Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. It's been a week packed with cabinet appointments as Donald Trump amasses his government. There was the Army Corps' decision not to approve an easement for the Dakota Access Pipeline. And there was Pizzagate, a viral fake news story about a pizza restaurant in Washington, D.C. with non-existent ties to child trafficking. The story's false, but that didn't stop a gunman from opening fire inside the restaurant. He admitted to the New York Times that the intel wasn't 100% on that story before he decided to carry through with his plan. A view from the right now on these issues and more with Noah Rothman, assistant online editor at the Conservative Monthly Commentary Magazine. We started our conversation with his understanding of the Dakota Access protests, where Rothman says the reprieve won by the pipeline protesters may be short-lived.
Well, it's a victory, but it might be a temporary victory. This was the result of the Army Corps' decision to back off in September, back off construction and begin the process of working with the protesters and the results of all the indignation over this decision that had been made a long time ago after the course of consultations with local tribes, historical reviews, environmental impact analyses. So it was kind of a surprise when the U.S. Army backed off, and NBC News' reporting revealed that this was the result of civilian political appointees determining that it was just the costs had outweighed the benefits. So it could be reversed, theoretically, in a Trump administration, but we've possibly seen some dangerous precedents in the form of giving in to protesters who demonstrated violently. You could call it mob violence. I think I'm comfortable with that. So if we have an administration that wants to roll up these kind of protests, they're not going to be as afraid of the dangerous optics, the bad optics of taking apart a tent city as the Obama administration had been.
You know, Noah, I spend a lot of time in Washington, D.C., and in fact, I've spent some time at Comet Pizza and Ping Pong on Connecticut Avenue, the place where, of course, an armed man walked in to investigate what he thought were credible claims of child sex rings going on. This is all about fake news, of course, which led to the firing from the Trump transition team of the son of national security advisor-to-be Michael Flynn. I wonder if you've sensed any true reckoning or any introspection on the right about the phenomenon of fake news. Not that most people involved, you know, in elite politics consume it or care about it, but that maybe large parts of the Trump coalition have been brought to the party in part because of it.
Possibly. I've not sensed that kind of introspection, perhaps because it's just a little early. We're still in the honeymoon period where a lot of people who didn't support Donald Trump during the primaries are now expressing themselves as Trump supporters. The reluctant are now embracing him. So I have not sensed that. But a true reckoning is coming not only for Republicans but for Democrats. It is the out party that is mostly susceptible to this kind of abusive, naked kind of attempt to create false hope. And you saw that, the very first beginning evidences of the era of liberal scam packs with Jill Stein's approach to creating and fundraising for a recount in states like Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, where she drew very minimal percentage of the votes, where the recounts that have so far been counted have only increased Donald Trump's tally, and where she raised much more money than she even remotely needed for this sort of thing. So Republicans were plagued by what were called scam packs, were essentially fundraising operations that padded the bottom lines of organizing groups and didn't do much in the way of activists. I think we're beginning to see the beginning of that on the left, and that is very much what fuels the quote-unquote fake news phenomenon.
Noah Rothman, I really want to ask you about conflicts of interest and the potential for President-elect Trump's conflicts of interest. This is growing to be a huge story, but do you think the right is paying sufficient attention to the risks here, not only to ethics, of course, but to Donald Trump's own political health? I mean, conflicts of interest have a way of undermining you if they're not addressed. And I wonder if you think they're being addressed in a substantive way.
Well, no. No to both your questions. No, there's not enough interest being paid to it. No, I don't think there's a way to resolve it. I don't know if there is a way to resolve it in a way that would perfectly indemnify Donald Trump, because his interests are so sprawling. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of companies that are very loosely affiliated, some of which, you know, 3, 4, 5 companies working on the same endeavor. The notion that you could liquidate all that, put it into a blind trust with an independent manager is sort of fanciful. Who's going to buy all this? How can you liquidate that in the course of the next 6 weeks? And now we have Donald Trump saying that he's not going to. And it's not really a matter of law, as you indicate, but of political consequences. This in the event that Donald Trump has these conflicts of interest, you know, it's not an issue until it is an issue. And then when it is, it's going to be a big issue because it's a controversy that'll sap enthusiasm from Republicans. It'll embolden progressives. It'll create conflicts between the Congress and the White House, both of which are prone to conflict anyway. It'll paralyze the government. It'll stall Donald Trump's agenda. It'll likely cost them in the 2018 midterm elections. So this is something that is we're staring down the barrel of something we know is going to be a problem.
What do you say when you see Speaker Paul Ryan brushing it off? I'm not worried about it at all, is what he said.
I say I understand, because what's he going to say? His incentives now are to rush headlong into tax code reform and entitlement reform while he has the opportunity.
Noah Rothman, it's been great to have you.
Thank you very much.
Noah Rothman is the assistant online editor at Commentary Magazine.